Hello, welcome to the Monday, April 6, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. As part of this podcast, I have mentioned Android malware quite a number of times, so it's interesting to see Google's take and some statistics that Google collected about unwanted applications that are installed on Android devices. According to Google's research, about 1 in 200, so that's about 0.5% of Android devices, have some form of malware installed. That's of course a fairly small rate, but still, yes, Android malware exists in the wild. Your risk of having malware installed, of course, increases if you install applications outside the Google App Store. Also, if you root your device, then your risk increases somewhat because, well, now you can bypass some of the Google built-in security features. The one real outlier here is that devices in China are affected at a rate of about 3% or 3 to 4%. So that's quite significantly higher than the average of 0.5%. Now, most of the malware we actually talked about in the past specifically targets Chinese users and is offered via app stores that are specifically for the Chinese market. That may explain the higher rate of infections in China. The report is then going into more detail about what Google is doing to counter various malware threats and also what Google has done in 2014, for example, with respect to patching Android for current security vulnerabilities. But well, let's take a quick look what we got in diaries this weekend. We got two diaries from Didier. First one here about SSH fingerprints. Turns out that Cisco iOS, there is no easy way to pull out the fingerprint. Now, when you connect to an SSH server for the first time, you probably noticed the pop-up asking you to confirm that you are connecting to the server with the correct fingerprint. If you don't do this carefully, then there's a chance that you will have man-in-the-middle attacks, just like with SSL if you accept a bad certificate. Now, in Cisco iOS, you can still get the fingerprint, you just have to do some of the math yourself, and Didier's diary illustrates how to do this. In a second diary, and it's a real neat trick with Wireshark, Didier shows how to easily display the flags for TCP packets in an easier to digest manner. And I know we all have a hard time keeping Java up to date on our desktops. Well, don't forget the servers, and we do now have a patch from VMware updating Java for various VMware products. The exact list, you'll find a link to that in the show notes. I don't think all different VMware products have been addressed yet. Of particular interest here is the skip-TLS vulnerability. That vulnerability allows an attacker to skip certain parts of the SSL handshake and with that essentially trick a client or a server into establishing an unencrypted connection by essentially never exchanging keys. Java was vulnerable to that, and that's was addressed originally in January with the critical update from Oracle. OpenSSL was somewhat vulnerable to this, but only to client impersonation, not to server impersonation. So that's probably why it hasn't gotten a lot of press. But it's not just a VMware you should be concerned about. Other servers that are Java-based may suffer from similar problems, depending on how you exactly implement SSL. And IBM released a rather comprehensive report about the Dire malware. This is sort of the current malware for online banking fraud, du jour. Now, in this case, in the latest version, they actually added a neat twist to that, and that's a call center. Now, If you're familiar with Zeus or such, you probably have seen it inject various pages asking you for pins and the like in order to, for example, bypass two-factor authentication system. Dire actually does it a little bit different. Instead of injecting all of these additional pages, it just injects one page asking you to call an 800 number because apparently there is a problem with their account, and then the people behind that particular malware actually set up a call center that will then ask you for various things like pins and other pieces of your authentication in order to fully exploit your account. This, of course, really tricky in that sense that we always told users only go to the bank's website and only call the number that's listed on the website. Well, that's exactly what the user is doing here. So really hard to sort of tell the user not to call that number and not to give, not to answer all these questions that are being asked by the operator. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.